Barbarian Tribes of Rome, Celt-Iberian Wars, Part 2. Well, good old General Flaccus had thought he'd won everything, turned his army over to the new gentleman, and Gracchus then began to conduct several campaigns throughout 179 BCE, defeating the Celt-Iberians at Munda, Certima, and Alsae, all of which are in southern Spain. At this point, many of the other Celtic tribes, Celt-Iberian tribes on the peninsula, began surrendering to Rome, since they could see they were no match for the Roman armies, and that resisting would lead to death or even worse, slavery. As a result, Gracchus met with various tribal leaders of the Celt-Iberia to negotiate peace terms. In general, the terms of the treaty were very favorable to the Celt-Iberians, most likely because Gracchus was trying to prevent future wars and therefore wanted to make friends with the local tribes. To do this, he resettled some of his more impoverished people living in Celt-Iberia and imposed a grain tax that was considerably less demanding than many of the taxes the Romans imposed on the tribes they conquered elsewhere in Europe. However, the Romans imposed the law that forbade the natives from forming new cities, although they were allowed to fortify existing ones. This stipulation would later cause problems and lead to new conflicts between the Romans and the Celt-Iberians. But in general, this approach seems to have been rather successful, since Iberia entered a period of relative stability for the next 20 years. This period also marks the beginning of Celt-Iberian Romanization. The Romans established administrative institutions and began importing their people so as to spread their language and customs. However, it would take more rounds of fighting for the Celt-Iberians to finally give in to Roman rule and become part of the Roman Empire. As mentioned, the peace terms negotiated by Gracchus helped establish peace in Celt-Iberia for a better part of a quarter of a century. However, fighting would resume in 154 BCE when the Celt-Iberian tribe the Belli opened the doors of their capital to surrounding towns and allowed them to settle there. At the same time, they began to construct a new city wall. The Romans interpreted this as an attempt to build a new city, which would have been a violation of the peace treaty negotiated by Gracchus. In response, the Romans made tribute demands on the Belli and sent a group of Roman soldiers to the city to collect it. The Belli people approached the Romans and claimed that they were not building a new city, that they had also been granted an exemption from tribute. However, the Roman Senate ignored these claims and prepared for war, perhaps because it was worried that the Belli were becoming too powerful and would therefore become a problem moving forward. In 153 BCE, when the Belli found out the Romans were marching towards them to make war, they fled to a territory occupied by another Celtic tribe, the Arvaci. They were located in the northeastern portion of the peninsula. This Celt-Iberian coalition attacked the Romans by surprise, and although the Romans technically won, they suffered heavy losses. Shortly thereafter, the Celt-Iberians engaged the Romans at Numantia, a small but important town in northern Spain. Once again, Celt-Iberian coalition was able to inflict heavy losses on the Romans, but this time they emerged victorious. This victory on its own would have put Rome and Celt-Iberia in jeopardy. But shortly afterwards, the Belli and the Arvaci were joined by additional Celt-Iberian tribes who were eager to free themselves from Roman rule and saw this as their opportunity to do so. After these defeats, the command of the Roman army changed hands, and in 152 BCE, they attacked the city of Ochilus in north-central Spain and managed to take it and capture hostages. When this happened, the people of Ochilus asked for peace, but the Romans would not accept it until the Belli and the Arvaci agreed to peace. These tribes ended up sending envoys to Rome to ask for peace, which was granted, and by 151 BCE, the Second Celt-Iberian War had come to an end. However, the fighting wasn't over yet. In 151 BCE, Lucius Licinius Lucullus, the new consul, took control of the Roman legions in Hispania and began attacking the Vacaci, another Celtic tribe in northern Spain. These actions never led to an all-out war, although the Celt-Iberians made pleas to Rome to punish their official for his actions. It's possible their request was ignored because the Roman Senate could see they were getting close to fully pacifying the peninsula, and therefore deemed it unnecessary to continuing to pander to the Celt-Iberian claims. However, it is also possible the Roman Senate was simply not interested in helping them because the Lusitanians were revolting in the western part of the peninsula, which would have proved to be a big distraction from the plight of the Celt-Iberians. This leads to the Numantian War and finally Romanization. After the end of the Second Celtiberian War, Rome was closer than ever before to fully pacifying Hispania and completing its annexation to their empire. In addition to fighting back most of the peninsula's Celtiberian tribes, the Romans had also managed to subdue the rebelling Lusitanians. However, at the end of the Lusitanian War, their leader, Ferratus, fled to the Arvisi territory to join up with the Celtiberians for one last stand against the Romans. At first, things looked good for this Celtiberian-Lusitanian coalition. They were able to win several victories in the early years of the war, 143 to 138 BCE, and the Roman commander at the time actually negotiated peace with the tribes. The fighting continued throughout the next several years until the two sides met at Numantia in 134 BCE. Here the Romans managed to win a decisive victory that ended the Numantine War. Peace was negotiated after this battle marked the end of the conflict between the Romans and the Celtiberians, and while Iberian tribes would continue to give Romans trouble over the next century, it marked the official beginning of Romanization and the end of autonomous Celtic cultures in the Iberian Peninsula. Now, the story of the Celts in Iberia is very similar to that of the Celts in Gaul. In fact, the Celtiberian tribes were only unified by language, and that they lacked political organization made them easy targets for the invading Romans. So although their legendary warrior culture made it possible for them to inflict heavy losses on the Roman armies and resist their rule for some time, it was ultimately impossible for them to avoid the conquest and the process of Romanization. As a result, while some of the people currently living in Spain recognize their Celtic language, there are few tangible traces of the culture left on the peninsula. Now, the sources for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owen, The Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad, and The History of the Barbarians, which is a whole series on different groups, and this would, of course, be the Celt version. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.